ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Do you ever think that maybe the people making all the important decisions don't have a clue what they're doing?
The UK Prime Minister is facing increasing pressure to step down.
It is ridiculous that Australia is facing a domestic gas price crisis.
They take our money, they make us look like fools.
I'm Matt Bevan, and on my show, if you're listening, we take a look at every terrible decision that led to where we are today. Find us on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a new sort of warfare we have never witnessed before, and it's not taking place on the battlefield. It's the new propaganda, or slopaganda, and Iran is proving to be very effective at it. Today, Brett Schaefer at the Institute for Strategic Dialogue on how Iran is using meme warfare to win support around the world. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Brett, AI slop was last year's word of the year, but it seems we have a new contender, that is slopaganda. What on earth is that?
So it is effectively an amalgamation of the two. So you're dealing with all of this sort of low quality AI-produced content that we see across the internet in so many different forms, but now being applied to war propaganda. Yeah. So it is effectively just combining the new technology with something we've obviously dealt with for generations to create this sort of low-quality, mass-produced propaganda that's been produced by AI.
And Iran is proving to be pretty good at this slopaganda. So just give me some examples of what we've been seeing. Donald Trump often features highly, doesn't he?
He does. And there's a couple different networks at work here. So there's sort of the official Iranian accounts. So those would be diplomats and government officials and their state media, but also just sort of pro-Iran voices online. And it's hard to tell if they have any connection to the government, but they're the ones producing a lot of this AI content. And then it is being shared by state media. It's being shared by embassies, by diplomats. So you've got kind of fan accounts online that are creating some of these Lego-inspired videos. Those have gone very viral. Wake up, America. Open your eyes to the devil's design. We've had rap videos being created. We've had a bunch of AI-generated images being created online. As you said, often making a caricature out of Trump. Mm-hmm. 5,000 years of Persian soul, of poetry and light. You sold nuclear threat to everyone. And then these are spreading through sometimes official channels, but also unofficial channels as well.
Yeah, and they're getting heaps of views, right? I mean, there's a video of Donald Trump as an 80s pop star that's received a lot of views.
Yeah, I mean, enormous amounts of views. Yes, yeah, that one in particular, the blockade video.
Yes. I will never give you up. The Strait of
Hormuz must be shut. Blockade, blockade. Which I believe was produced by a German, but again was picked up by Iranian diplomatic accounts. It went viral, and we're talking tens of millions of views here. So these are things that are really penetrating outside of the kind of networks that typically would engage with diplomatic content and diplomatic accounts. I think soon I get
impeached. Yeah, and it's not just Trump, of course. There are satirical clips of Pete Hegseth, of J.D. Vance. I mean, as you say, there's Lego, there's rap. It's sort of got everything.
It does. I mean, this is sort of the new AI-generated form of political satire. So they're satirizing all of these figures in the Trump administration, but they're doing it in the ways that, you know, we've seen this done for decades. They are trying to make a caricature out of their enemy, trying to cut them down to size. So it's taken on a new, very digital form, But I think the intent is something that we've seen for a very long time. When you see these sort of power dynamics at play and you see opponents of a regime or a political movement using satire to try to cut down the other side.
And they're very anti-American, I presume.
They are. And, you know, Iranian propaganda has long been very anti-American. So this is not new. This is the feature. But the sort of fun, playful content that we've seen Iranian diplomats start putting out during the war, this is new. Before the war started, Iranian diplomats did not have much of a following on X. They were not seen as particularly effective communicators. But that has all changed, particularly a couple of the embassies in Africa. I mean, they have seen their follower numbers jump by tens of thousands, some cases hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, it's pretty unusual for an Iranian embassy to actually post these sort of videos, right? That's a new thing.
It is. It's not something you would expect from diplomats.
No.
So, you know, good political satire is something you expect from comedians. That's not normally the world of diplomats. We did not see this from the Iranians before this war started.
Yeah, and who's the audience? I mean, this is a pretty effective propaganda tool, that is clear. But it's not the Iranians that are the audience, right? The Iranians are targeting Americans, I presume.
They're targeting Americans, and I think they're also just targeting a global audience. Mm. But you're right, outside of Iran.
Yes.
I mean, for one, almost all of the content that has gone viral has been in English. But also you have to keep in mind there's an internet blackout in Iran. So Iranians are not seeing this content for the most part. So yes, I do think they are targeting Americans here, but they also know that public opinion globally is important. And so I think they're reaching a wide audience outside of both Iran and the United States here.
Brett, just to explain a bit further, though, who is actually behind all of this? Who's driving this at this point and where are they?
They are all over. Uh-huh. So we already discussed this kind of music video that was put out, this 80s synth pop. That was put out by a German content creator. There have been some rumors that actually one of the people putting out the Lego-inspired videos is somewhere in the U.S. There are other content creators who seem to be somewhere in the Middle East. There's been interviews with them that some claim to be in Iran, which would actually suggest they are getting some level of government support if they're able to post during the conflict. But these are people scattered kind of all over the globe. And then Iranian state media and diplomats are just finding the good content and giving it a little bit of a boost. But it's a pretty disparate network of people who are putting this stuff out. And most did not have much of a presence before the war.
Yeah.
This group called Explosive Media, that's done a lot of the Lego-inspired videos, they had very little presence online before the war started, but they've blown up since.
And it's not like they're breaching any requirements of, say, Instagram or YouTube. Those social media companies, they can't take these videos down.
There was a bit of a conflict around that because YouTube actually did take down the Explosive Media channel, at least for a while. I'm not sure if it's back up. But there were people who wondered, myself included, as you mentioned, what terms of service of violation that they'd kind of come across to institute that ban. So you're right. I mean, this is not a platform violation. They're not doing anything that should violate any of the tech company's terms of service. They're not engaged in disinformation. It's pretty clear where the content is coming from. So they're not using deception. They're not using disinformation. And so they're effectively playing by the rules here.
Well, Brett, propaganda, of course, has always been a very useful tool of war. So let's consider now the impact that these videos are having. Some see this as a new era of meme warfare.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of political and geopolitical communication has shifted over to memes over the last decade. I mean, we've seen that in political communication in the U.S. And somewhat ironically, I mean, Trump was one of the first politicians to really embrace that.
Mm.
So we've gone from prepared diplomatic statements to now this very visual medium where they're putting out satirical memes, often of their opponents, because they understand that's the language of the internet right now. That's what people share. That's what goes viral. You know, long statements are not things that people typically engage with. So we're seeing a lot of, you know, traditional diplomatic messaging, but especially war propaganda, really start to adopt these quicker, sharper forms of communication, memes being one of them, because they understand that audiences like to engage with that. And, you know, with our short attention spans now on social media, that's what people like and that's what people share.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. All right. But how is the U.S. trying to counter this then? It's using memes too, is it?
It is. It is. And, you know, we've seen throughout the war, the White House as well, putting out some AI-generated memes. We've seen war footage spliced together with video game footage. So they are attempting to also sort of speak to the new language of the internet.
You want to see me do it again? You want to see me do it again?
I'm not sure that is landing quite as well, especially outside of the U.S. I mean, it's certainly resonating with supporters of Trump here. But I think outside of the U.S., I'm not sure that that style is working quite as well. And again, I think that gets a lot to the power dynamics here. It just plays very different when the U.S. is engaging in this kind of memeified propaganda than when the Iranians or another country does it.
All right. So the Iranian government seems to have the meme, if you like, upper hand. But tell me, whose minds then are they changing? Who is being influenced, do you think, by these videos?
Well, I think what it's done is it's softened Iran's image globally. I mean, if you go back to 100 days ago, Iran was really a pariah state. You know, there are claims that they had potentially murdered thousands, if not tens of thousands, of protesters. And outside of that, I mean, Iran did not have a very positive global image. I mean, their image was quite negative. They were seen as a regressive regime. They were seen as authoritarian. And so now, at least audiences on X are seeing them a little bit as a plucky underdog here. They're coming across as a bit more playful. And so I think many audiences have sort of lost the sort of history of who these embassies are representing. And so I do think that that has had an effect on global public opinion, because now Iran is seen as the underdog taking on the United States and not as an authoritarian government that has cracked down on protesters at home.
Yeah, and they're not targeting people who are engaged with the news, obviously. This is how they're getting their news.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a problem of the social media era, right? I mean, it's increasingly difficult to get really solid, credible information across social media channels because, as we talked about earlier, the AI slopaganda era just increasingly has meant that you are seeing a lot of low quality news in your feeds. And so they're trying to break through that clutter here and capture a moment of people's attention. That's what they're going for. They're not effectively trying to make a counter argument to the argument the U.S. has made about why they launched this war. They're just trying to get audiences to share their content and to laugh for a moment.
All right. Well, Brett, from everything we have spoken about, it is clear that this isn't just a sideshow, right? This is a real part of this war. Is that fair enough to say?
It is fair enough to say. And the propaganda war and the information war is extremely important, because this is not a war Iran is going to win on the battlefield. But I think what they think is they can outlast the U.S. because they're going to degrade support for this conflict in the U.S. and elsewhere. You know, gas prices do that, obviously, to a degree, and we've seen the Iranians trying to promote that to American audiences. But also, I think this information war is just an attempt to start chipping away at support for the war domestically here in the U.S.
All right. So, Brett, what are the lessons we should take away from this? Should we be concerned about what might come next? Could slopaganda be used for, I guess, more dangerous purposes?
It certainly could. And putting aside the dynamics of this particular conflict, I think what we have noticed on, for those of us who sort of work in the information defense space, is how do you counter this in general? Because as we talked about, they're not violating any rules. They are not spreading falsehoods, although they have done that to a degree. But largely what has been popular has not been the kind of Russian disinformation that this community has tried to counter for years. And so it's really made people sort of question information defense and how you would counter this more broadly, when it's really a vibe war, you know, how do you fact check a vibe? You know, there's no facts here to debate. It's just playing on emotions. And so I think, you know, more broadly in political communication, we're going to see more and more of this, where we're not debating policy points or positions. You're really just trying to get an emotional response out of an audience.
Brett Schaefer is a senior director at the Institute for Strategic Dialogue. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily. We'll be back again on Monday. Thanks for listening.